Hey, Harbor family, so good to see you this morning. So good to worship with you this morning. And I've got some really good news for you this morning. After 2 years of discussions and 6 months of negotiations, on late Friday afternoon, we finally reached an agreement with the owners of this property. And fam, you're buying a building. Congratulations. We are so stoked about that. Now, we still got to make it through escrow. There's still some hurdles left to go. But if you've made a pledge to the Kamakee Fund that you haven't yet fulfilled, now is the time. We got to get those funds in hand to close escrow July 1st or soon thereafter. If you want to give more than what you pledged, we'll always take it. I'll help you out if you're writing a check. Million is spelled with two L's, so I'll help you out with that. But we will need a little more funds to do some of the deferred maintenance projects that we've been waiting on until we knew that we were going to keep this building, like the electrical system, which went out during first service. We'd like to upgrade our electrical system so that the AC works in August. I think we'll all appreciate that. So if you'd like to keep giving towards the Kamakee Fund, we'll always take it, and it'll always go towards really good use. But this weekend, we're just celebrating God's goodness, and it's really appropriate because we're in the middle of the Psalms, which are all about celebrating God's goodness. We started this series called Ascend a couple weeks ago, where we're working through the Psalms of Ascent, which are the songs that the Israelites sang on their way up as they were ascending the hill to go up to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. And the song that we're going to explore today is a song celebrating God's protection. God's protection. I don't know, maybe you've experienced God's protection in a really powerful way. I have. When we first planted Harbor, the guys on the launch team, we all love to go dive, love to go spearfish all the time. At least once or twice a week, we're always out there, usually on the east side. And so one day we were out in Waimanalo, and I'm just floating around looking for something to poke that's bigger than the coles that I usually got, these little things that taste good, but they're really bony. I wanted something big and meaty. And then I saw him, this uhu, just about 10, 15 feet away, just munching on the coral. And so I got ready. I got still. I took a deep breath, and I started slowly sinking to the bottom so I could sneak up on him. I started pulling my three-prong back to get ready to poke him. And then just as I'm about to take that shot, I get yanked by my board shorts, and somebody was yanking me all the way up to the surface of the water. I get up, and I look, and it's Brian Lim, and he's yanking me away, and I'm a little salty. I'm like, bro, what are you doing, bro? I was about to get one. Ooh-hoo, and he just points down. I put my mask back in the water, and there's a six-foot shark right underneath us. And so we start to slowly back away towards the shore. Once we get a little bit away, he tells me, bro, your face was 12 inches away from the shark's face. Somehow, I didn't see him. Somehow, he didn't see me. Apparently, he was hunting the same uhu that I was. And so, I should have had my face eaten off that day, but God protected me. It was amazing how God protected me. Maybe you've got the same story. You've seen God protect you in a powerful way. Maybe that's something that you need right now. You need God to protect you powerfully today. Maybe you feel kind of vulnerable right now. You feel kind of anxious and fearful right now. Well, family, God wants to care for you right now through his word and through his spirit. So if you got your Bible, open to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. If you don't have a Bible, grab one of those hardback Bibles around you. Turn to page 543 in those hardback Bibles. And this is a song that's by David. He's remembering a time when he was under attack by his enemies, the Philistines. He was afraid for his life. He didn't know what was going to happen. We know from other parts of Scripture that he was extremely scared, just incredibly fearful, because he knows they could kill him, knows that they could kill like many, many, many people around him. And so he's scared for his life, and he's not sure if God's going to protect him. Now, maybe you're dealing with something similar right now. Your life isn't in physical danger like David's, but you're still just anxious all the time. Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night stressed. Maybe you wake up at 3:30 and you're stressed about finances, stressed about paying your credit card bills. Maybe you wake up and you're stressed about your job, stressed about doing your job or keeping your job. Maybe you wake up and you're stressed about some health issue that you're dealing with or some family drama that you're dealing with. Whatever it is, it's got you stressed. And David is here to say, I feel you. In this psalm, he's remembering the time when he was extremely stressed. From other parts of scripture, what it seems like is that this is the time when he was crowned the king of Israel. And when that happened, the Philistines next door to Israel got really nervous because they felt like David was a threat. And so they came and they invaded Israel. They wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the planet. And so David, he went and hid in his castle. He was scared that the Philistines were going to defeat them, scared that the Philistines were going to kill him. And this was one of the most, probably the most stressful moment in his life. But God protected him. God protected him. And so look at what he says in verse 1. Verse 1, if the Lord had not been on our side. Stop right there. If the Lord had not been on our side. That's the whole point right there. That's my whole sermon right there. If you don't get anything else today, get this. In fact, you could even write this down. If it wasn't for God, dot, dot, dot. If it wasn't for God, dot, dot, dot. There's so many of us who could fill in dot, 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 dot with so many things. Maybe you're like, yeah, if it wasn't for God, my marriage would be toast. If it wasn't for God, my kids would be off the rails. If it wasn't for God, I'd have lost my mind, man. If it wasn't for God, I'd be dead. That's how David is feeling as he writes this psalm. He's going, man, if it wasn't for God, I'd be a goner. Now, notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, if it wasn't for my strength, if it wasn't for my strategy. No, he says, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't still be standing. Because David knows that one of the most dangerous things that can happen to you is when you start confusing God's grace with your greatness. When you make it through something and you look back and you say, well, I made it because I'm disciplined. I made it out because I'm hardworking. I made it here because I'm smarter than most people. David's here to tell you, no, that's not it. No, if the Lord hadn't been on your side, you wouldn't still be standing. He knows that down deep. So look at verse 1 again. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. Notice this, David assumes opposition. He just assumes it. Maybe somebody told you at some point, if you put your trust in Jesus, life gets easier. Maybe they even had a Bible verse for you. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. That's absolutely true, but here's the thing. God's definition of prosper might be a little different than yours because Jesus also says, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. Maybe you're like, man, why? Why is marriage so hard? You know why? Because you live in this world. Why is parenting so hard? Because you live in this world. Why is my job so hard? Because you live in this world. And David's going, man, sometimes this world is so troubling that it feels like this world is going to swallow you alive. Make sure you catch that image that he's giving you. Let that sink in for a second. David knows that he was almost swallowed alive, not just defeated, not just killed, consumed. Like, he's not even worth a fight. He's just food. That's all he is. The Philistine army is looking at David and his army and going, that's not a militia. That's just a meal. That's all these guys are. And maybe you felt the same way before. Maybe you were up against something that just had you completely outgunned, totally outclassed, totally outmaneuvered. I don't know what it was. Maybe you were up against some government bureaucracy, some corporate structure, some hostile group of people. And as you went up against this thing, you just knew you were out of your league. You knew it could swallow you whole. You just didn't stand a chance. Well, how do you respond in that kind of situation? When you feel like the world is just going to swallow you alive, when you feel like the world's going to overwhelm you like a flood, that's the image David gives us in verse 4. What he says in verse 4, then the water would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging water would have swept over us. That's a really powerful image for us here in Hawaii because we experienced all of this just a couple months ago. All right? We got teachers here in our Harbor family at Noalani Elementary who had a torrent sweeping over their school and to carry little Keiki to safety. We got folks in our Harbor North family who had raging waters rushing through their houses. Praise God that he protected them all, man. There's little kids, there's kupunas who should have been swept out to sea when that happened. It sure looked like that would happen. So that kind of experience, that's how David felt. It was this flash flood that just should have swept him out to sea. So we're talking about something that you just can't escape. No matter how fast you run, you can't outrace it. No matter how hard you paddle, you can't outswim it. David says, that's where I was at. The water was over my head. I wasn't swimming, I was sinking. I don't know if you've ever had a season of life that felt like that, where the water came over your head, you just couldn't catch a breath, and every time you got your nostrils just barely above the surface, another wave would come crashing down. I've been there. I don't know, maybe you're there right now. I know there's some of us in this room who walked in this morning smiling, but inside we're drowning. Well, David, he's been there. Three times he says, the raging water would have swept over us, would have swept over us. It would have swept over us if it wasn't for God. He says that three times because he really wants it to sink in. He knows we've all got this tendency, myself included, more than anybody. We've got this tendency that if we make it through something, once we get on the other side, we look back at that experience and we're like, bro, that was rough. But I fought my way through it. I found the strength within to make it past it. I dug down deep and I found something inside of myself to fight against it. David says, no. No, that's not how it worked at all. David knows he was in a hole that he couldn't dig himself out of. He says, I was gone. I was dead. I had no hope. I was trapped and I couldn't get out. That's the picture in verse 6. Look what David says. Blessed be the Lord who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We've escaped like a bird from the hunter's net. The net is torn and we have escaped. Fam, do you get how hopeless the situation was for David? He's just piling up image on image to make sure you get the picture. First, he's getting swallowed alive by a shark. Then he's getting drowned by one flash flood. Now he's a little bird, just trapped and killed, ready to be killed by a hunter. I love this image because it's so specific. You can imagine this really well, especially if you took fourth grade Hawaiian studies and you did the field trip to Bishop Museum. If you did that, then you probably learned how to make an upenamanu, a bird net. And they taught you how to use string to weave a net and then tie it to a tree, just like ancient Hawaiians did to catch birds so they could get the feathers for a cape or even just to get food. And you learned that if you make this net right, it'll just blend right in. The bird won't even see it. He'll just walk right into it. One second, he'll be doing his bird thing, just living his best bird life. And then the next second, whoosh, he's trapped. And if you made it right, the harder he struggles, the tighter it gets. If you made it out of olana fiber, the traditional Hawaiian material, that bird is never going to break it. It's indestructible. He doesn't have the strength to break it, doesn't have the tools to break it. That bird is done. And so here's David's question for you. What do you do when you're that bird? What do you do when this world has trapped you and there's no way out? When the world is crashing down on you like a flood? When the world is attacking you like a shark? When that's you, you got a choice to make. You can either focus on your situation or you can focus on your Savior. That's your choice. Focus on the situation or focus on your Savior. That's what David is doing all through this psalm. He's going, yeah, I was in the mouth of the shark. Yeah, I was getting washed away by the flood. Yeah, I was going to die in the net, but God protected me. And so now I know, verse 8, now I know our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And family, that's what we got to remember. We can focus on what this world does to us, or we can focus on what our God does for us. That's what David did. Even while he was drowning, even while he was in the middle of it, he went to his deliverer. When he was in the middle of the battle with the Philistines, he went and hid in his castle. And look at what he did in 2 Samuel 5. It says, David then inquired of the Lord, should I attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord replied to David, attack, for I will certainly hand the Philistines over to you. And so David went to Baal Perazim, and he defeated them there, and he said, like a bursting flood. Oh, I love this. Like a bursting flood, the Lord has burst out against my enemies before me. And therefore, he named that place, the Lord bursts out. I love that, because what is he saying? Yeah, the world, that's a bursting flood that comes against me. But my God is a bigger flood. Your flood, it's like a little trickle that comes out of a garden hose compared to my God's flood. And my God is on my side. You just can't compete. So David, he's letting us in on a little secret here. The way you overcome your fear of the world is to replace it with a healthy fear of God. Replace your fear of the world with a reverence and awe and respect for God's goodness and glory and greatness and grace. And remember that all of that is aligned in your favor. Remember, he's fighting on your behalf. When it feels like the shark is about to eat you, the flood is about to drown you, the snare is about to crush you, here's how you claim God's protection. Number one, remember who's fighting. Remember who's fighting for you. Like David says, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. Literally in the Hebrew, it's really interesting. What he says is, if the Lord hadn't been on our side, when a human being attacked us. Singular. He's talking about the whole Philistine army. Huge, fierce army. But he still says, it was a human. Yeah, it doesn't matter how many humans are a part of that army. It's just a human compared to our great and glorious God. They didn't have a chance. They're just a little, few little ants going up against a lion. And that lion, family, that lion is fighting for you. Like it says in Deuteronomy 20, the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Or 2 Chronicles 20, you don't have to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. God fights for you, he protects you, and he delivers you. Like David said, we've escaped like a bird from the hunter's net. The net is torn, we've escaped. I love that, because that's freedom language right there. That's all about your freedom. The net that was enslaving you, holding you down, and trapping you, yeah, it's torn. It's demolished. It's destroyed. That's what Jesus did through his death and resurrection. He smashed the snare. So here's the question. What is it that's still snaring you? What is it that's holding you down? I'm trapping you right now. I don't know, maybe it's an addiction to a substance, to an experience. You've tried to quit like 17 times, but every time you feel like you might be getting free, you look down and the net is still around your ankle. You're like, man, I'm never going to be free. Well, listen to me. The snare has been smashed. When Jesus died on the cross, he smashed that snare. The snare is not smashed by your willpower and strength. It's smashed by a resurrected Savior who loves to set captives free. The snare is smashed. Maybe the snare is your marriage. It's just cold, lifeless, dead, and it's been that way for as long as you can remember. You just don't even know how it got to this point where it's just characterized by cynicism and pessimism. It just feels like there's no way out. There's no way to change. Well, listen to me carefully. The snare has been smashed. Jesus brought life out of death, and he wants to do exactly the same thing in your marriage because God is fighting for you. He's protecting you. He is delivering you every day. And that's why David can't stop singing. So you want to claim God's protection? Be like David. Remember who's fighting? And then number two, don't stop singing. Don't stop singing. I love how David says it in verse one. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. Let Israel say. You know what he's doing there? He's going, hey, don't leave me hanging here, family. I'm not singing a solo here. I want everybody. Let all Israel say. Let everybody sing together. The Lord is on our side. And then he just keeps singing through the whole psalm. Like verse 6, blessed be the Lord. Praise the Lord who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. That's a praise song about God's protection. He's not looking back. Looking back on the experience, going, man, why? Why did God let that happen to me? What did I do? What did I do to deserve that? That's the kind of questions we ask. It's the kind of questions I ask. But David, he doesn't have time to say things like that. He's too busy singing. Singing, blessed be the Lord, because I was as good as dead, now I'm alive. You know what he's singing here? He's singing the gospel. That's what he's singing. That's the gospel right there. The gospel is not you are bad and you need to get better. The gospel is you're dead. You are dead and you need a resurrector. And that's why Jesus came. The gospel isn't about how God helps us become slightly better versions of ourselves. The gospel is about how Jesus rescues spiritually drowned people from death. And that's why we sing. That's why we sing every Sunday. That's why we raise our hands in worship, because we know what we've been rescued from. And that's why we got to keep singing. Keep singing every day. Because singing, it gives you strength. Singing gives you supernatural strength. Like one of the churches that we helped plant in Vietnam, one Sunday, a couple of years ago, the police burst in the middle of the church service. Imagine that happening just right now. And they called the pastor to the back of the room. They told him, if you don't shut this down and permanently close this church, we're going to arrest everybody in this room. Well, as soon as the church saw what was happening in the back, they just started singing. Just spontaneously, just singing at the top of their lungs. And the pastor looks at the police and he's like, I don't know what to do here. I can't stop them from singing. And so what did the police do? They took off. They just left, and they've never been back. Amazing. Because singing, it's a form of rebellion. It is. You're saying to the world, you can't make me be quiet. You're saying to Satan, you can't push me around. You're saying to life, you can't hold me down. I'm going to sing. That's what you say every Sunday when you come here to worship, and that's what helps you make it through the rest of the week. Singing gives you strength. It's how you claim God's protection. So remember who's fighting. Don't stop singing. And then number three, keep on trusting. Keep trusting every day, day after day after day after day. That's what David's talking about in verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Did you notice the verb tense in that verse? Our help is from the Lord. Is, not was, not will be, not might be, is. Because our help is here, present, actively engaged right now. The God who broke the snare, he hasn't retired. The God who conquered the flood, he hasn't changed his number. He is still fighting for you, protecting you, defending you every single day. No matter what the world throws at you, you don't need to fear because God is for you. And like David says, he's the maker of heaven and earth. You know what that tells me? Maker of heaven and earth? That tells me that there's not a single thing in my life that is outside of his control. There's not a single thing in this world that is outside of his jurisdiction. Do you believe that? Your marriage? Yeah, he created the institution. Your body? He knit it together in your mother's womb. Your finances? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. Your future? He holds every single one of the days of your life in his hand. He is in control of everything. The creator of the universe is on your side. The God who hung the stars in the sky, he sees your tears. The God who numbers every grain of sand, he hears your prayers. And he cares about you because he's for you. He's on your side. The creator of the universe is for you. That is so important to understand, family. Because David, he could have said it the opposite way, right? He could have said, if we hadn't been on the Lord's side, we would have been devoured. If we hadn't have been on the Lord's side, we would have been swept away. He doesn't say that. No, because God's protection over you, it's not dependent on you. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on his decision to love you. Depends on the sacrifice of his son for you. Jesus went to the cross when you were being devoured. He went to the cross when you were under the flood, under the water. And you know what Jesus did at the cross? He stepped down into the water with you. And then he pushed back the waters for you. Because he took the torrents of God's wrath in your place. And then when he rose from the dead, he pushed the water away so it'll never affect you again. If you've been baptized, you got to experience that tangibly. You went under the water just like Jesus went into the ground, and then you surged up. You exploded up out of the water just like Jesus rose from the grave. So remember that experience. When it feels like you're about to be eaten alive, when it feels like the flood is about to drown you to death, remember your baptism. Remember how Jesus conquered the flood for you because he was in the flood with you. Whatever it is that's snaring you right now, addiction, work, family drama, stress, remember that Jesus smashed those snares for you. Every week, we usually have a moment of reflection after the sermon. We're going to do it a little different today. We're going to have a moment of reflection during the sermon. Here's what I want you to do. Right now, I just want you to think of that one thing in your life that's snaring you right now. The one thing that's trapping you, the one thing that's holding you down right now. Identify that thing in your mind. Just say it out loud in your mind, between you and God. Just name it right now. What's that thing that has you trapped? What's that thing that's too big to overcome? Name it. And then we're going to declare something in a few seconds. We're going to declare what God's people have been declaring for thousands of years. When they're in the valley, when they're in the hard places, just when they're on the journey. For thousands of years, God's people have been declaring, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's not a screensaver to put on your MacBook. That's not a sticker to put on your Yeti. That is a battle cry that we will declare together. That's the cry of a people who got swallowed alive and then spit back up by the grace of God. And we're going to declare that we never want to forget that. And we're going to declare his protection over us for the rest of our lives. So are you ready to declare that together, church? We're going to do it together on the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Declare it again. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. You might have declared that for the very first time. This might be the first time that you've realized that you don't have the strength to break the snare. You need Jesus to break it on your behalf. If you just made that decision, that commitment, that declaration for the first time today, don't leave without talking to somebody about it. Talk to the person who brought you. Talk to somebody at the Aloha table. Come find me. I'm not in a rush. I'm not going anywhere. Talk to somebody today because we want to help you celebrate the new freedom that you have in Christ. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, I know that some of us walked in here smiling this morning, but inside we're drowning. So I thank you for meeting us here through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the strength, the courage, the freedom that you give us. Because Jesus came into the flood with us. He took the torrents of God's wrath for us so that he could push the waters away from us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to live in the freedom that we have in Jesus, who smashed the snares of our lives. Help us to live in that freedom today. It's in his name we pray.